have tuned in to Talon Mark's Campus News Hour on WPMD.org, Cerritos College Radio on the net, bringing essential student body information, news, sports, and the arts to the entire Cerritos College campus community. Here are your hosts, Campus News Hour Director Tito Benavides and Managing Multimedia Editor Lucia Sarabia.
Today is April 25th, 2012. Welcome to the 14th edition of Talon Mark's Campus News Hour for the spring semester, bringing you news and information campus-wide. I'm your host, Tito Benavides.
And I'm Lucia Sarabia.
Good morning, Falcons! Changes are coming for students that utilize the free application for Federal Student Aid Program, also known as FAFSA. Time limits will now be imposed, allowing for 12 semesters down from the original allowance of 18 semesters. Opinion editor John Gonzalez asked his fellow Falcons how such a change will impact their student lives.
Kevin Fuentes began attending Cerritos College with the intention of transferring to a four-year university in 2 years, but his plans did not go as expected. He has found himself needing to stay here longer than 2 years and has found out that his college career can possibly take him longer than 6 years. With the new tuition increase, the students have to deal with a new problem. FAFSA has cut back on the years it will offer financial aid to all students nationwide. FAFSA will begin giving students only 6 years of aid instead of the now limit of 9. Students not only here on campus will feel the effects, but all over the nation as well. The problem students are facing with this new plan is that some students are taking longer than the 4-year plan set for college students. Undecided major Kevin Fuentes believes this will affect his life.
Well, I think it sucks because some people take longer to get through school than others, and maybe 6 years isn't enough time to complete school.
Do you think this could possibly affect you?
I think this could affect me because I have a low acceptance rate into a Cal State, and this could mean maybe I'll have to stay here longer and waste a semester or two of financial aid because I couldn't transfer.
With cutbacks being made to classes, some students are taking less classes and making it longer on themselves to get through college. Transfer Center typist clerk Karina Padilla believes these new limitations on FAFSA will also be a detriment on her studies.
As far as the question you asked me, I think it'll affect students because, as it is, school's already getting a lot of budget cuts, so it's taking students longer to be able to finish school on time and graduate and transfer over to a four-year university. So if they're doing the cutbacks to the financial aid to only 6 years, it'll affect students who are low income and can't afford to go to school.
Although some students are finding it hard to cope with the news, other students think FAFSA has made the right move in cutting back on aid. Joseph Garcia was quoted as saying,
"Oh, that seems pretty good. Well, I think, because, I mean, 4 years is like how long it takes for somebody to graduate, so if you want to go for like for extra more years, that's like extra schooling, so I guess you should pay for that."
He went on to say that students shouldn't be getting 6, if anything, 5 is the maximum number. For Talon Mark's Campus News Hour, I'm Opinion Editor John Gonzalez reporting.
The Community Resource Fair is an event created to help Cerritos College students. With an assortment of otherwise expensive services that are provided for free at the Resource Fair for students that are seeking help to get them through their daily obstacles. Staff writer Mario Jimenez reporting.
On April 26th, the Reentry Resource Program will be hosting the 4th Annual Community Resource Fair. The event will be hosted at the Cerritos College Library sidewalk from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Reentry Resource Specialist Shannon Estrada talks about the fair.
Overall, they've gone really well. We usually range between 25 to 35 agencies that come out every year. So it's been pretty successful. We've had some good comments from students, too.
Estrada says the reason behind hosting the fair is in large part due to trying to help people during these struggling economic times.
And a lot of times people don't know what's out there for them. So, you know, we try and bring in just a variety of community resources, you know, whether it's healthcare or legal aid or, you know, things that people would think that they would look for.
According to Estrada, the agencies at the fair will be answering questions, letting people know how they can help them and what they do.
You know, a lot of our students don't know what's out there. They don't know we have a success center or, you know, they don't know that there's scholarships or, you know, whatever. So we try and just bring some of the programs out to let students know, you know, how they can help them.
Estrada says the event is totally free of any cost and will be funded through donations she asked for from places outside of campus. A drawing or raffle also takes place, as Estrada stated.
So we're able to do like a drawing, you know, for students because I asked for donations from restaurants and local restaurants mostly.
Knott's Berry Farm is donating 4 tickets that will also be raffled away, as mentioned by Estrada. The event is a community event, as made clear by Estrada.
I just went out today and put flyers out in the local social service offices, the EDD office. We invite the community as well, because we want people to come and just see what's available to them that they may not know about.
Undecided Major Daniel Gomez shared his thoughts about the resource fair.
I think that's pretty cool, because people who aren't around here, they can basically get all the benefits that people of students that do go here, they at least get a chance, you know, and stuff, and I find that pretty cool.
Gomez also said that he thinks students should attend the event and see what opportunities they can benefit from. Arts and Design major Edwin Espinoza stated,
I think it's great that people are trying to raise awareness for the disabled, and I think they can benefit from attending, because there's free tickets in it if people get lucky with that, but they'll also be rewarded with learning more about the struggles that people go through that they might not know about, and they'll learn something from that day.
He also said that students can benefit from attending the event and learn about the struggles that people endure on a daily basis, as well as maybe getting lucky and winning tickets to Knott's Berry Farm. Architecture major Raul Ortiz shared his thoughts on the fair. Ortiz said he believes events like this are extremely beneficial to many people and should be kept around. According to Ortiz, many students have needs for the resources that are to be provided at the fair.
Many students need health care, and many students right here at Cerritos are actually parents, and their kids need child care in order to help them pay, because many times they don't have jobs or they have to pay for school, and if their kids or themselves get sick, you know, how are you going to pay for that stuff, you know? So yeah, it's a good thing.
For Talent Marks Campus News Hour, I'm staff writer Mario Jimenez reporting.
The Talent Marks Free Speech Zone offers students a chance to voice their opinion on any given subject that is current and applies to student life. This week's Free Speech Zone question, are you prepared to transfer into a four-year university? Staff writers Tanya Olivas, Luis Guzman, and Jose Ruiz, and assistant online editor Sarah Neiman reporting.
In this week's Free Speech Zone, we asked students if they are prepared to transfer to a four-year university.
My name is Corey Green. My major is undecided.
Are you prepared to transfer to a UC or a Cal State college?
Not yet, because I'm new. Like, this is my first semester. So in a couple years, I'll be ready.
Are you going to go see a counselor, or what is it that you're going to do to prepare to transfer out?
Well, I had my brother, he went here, and he knows basically all the requirements and stuff like that, so I just use him as guidance, because talking to the counselor, it takes too much time trying to schedule, and then schedule and work out, so yeah.
Law major Martin Talavera.
Are you prepared to transfer to a four-year university?
Yeah.
And how are you prepared? How would you say you're prepared?
Well, the military helped me, they gave me the resources that I needed to you know, the course that I needed to transfer. What else? Pretty much any information they just gave me. And that's how I prepared. I got doing all my course I needed to do, getting structure and all that stuff.
So you never saw a counselor here over at Cerritos College?
Yeah, I saw a VA counselor.
Okay, so they kind of helped you out to set up the structure
to transfer.
Okay.
Major in biology, Paola Guerrero.
Are you prepared to transfer to a four-year university?
I believe so.
Have you ever seen a counselor, or what classes are you taking? Are you taking random classes? What are you doing?
No, I'm actually taking classes towards my major. And I've talked to the counselor. I go check out the transfer center for any event coming up.
Undecided major, Melanie Osnaya.
Are you prepared to transfer to a UC or Cal State college?
Not right now. I just started for semester.
So what are you going to do?
Yeah.
In order to prepare to transfer out?
Take the right classes, talk to counselors, I guess.
Engineering major, Fausto Hernandez.
Are you prepared to transfer to a UC or a Cal State college?
A UC, yeah.
You are, and how are you prepared?
I took all my general eds and got all the prerequisites in order for me to transfer to that school. I did everything I need, and now I'm just waiting for my summer classes to be over.
Okay, and after that, you'll be transferring out? Did you speak to a counselor?
No. My mom's a teacher at USC, so she pretty much told me what to do.
So she was your guidance?
My guidance, pretty much, yeah.
Criminal justice major, Saida Iftekar.
Are you prepared to transfer to a UC or a Cal State college?
Cal State.
And how are you prepared? How did you prepare?
I am actually going to apply, but I have everything ready. All my transcripts and all my units are almost done.
Did you speak to a counselor?
Yes.
And that was pretty much your guidance in order for you to transfer?
Just the counselor, yes.
Okay.
And that's because I have EOPS, so I just go to those counselors. The other ones are never available.
Which are those counselors?
The EOPS counselors.
Mm-hmm.
So the students who are part of EOPS program, they have their own counselors. Like, you just can go meet with them anytime for, you know, 1 hour, 1 hour and a half. And the one in the main office are just for 15 minutes walk-in usually.
In order to be in that program, what do you need?
To be in EOPS, you have to have less than 35 units and 2.0 GPA and be qualify for FAFSA.
For Talon Marks Campus News Hour, I'm Assistant Online Editor Sarah Neiman reporting.
This is Talon Marks Campus News Hour on WPMD.org. We'll be right back after these messages.
Have you noticed our campus with hot Cheeto bags flying past you in the hall or empty coffee cups placed on tables? Balled up paper in stairways or flyers around the fountain? Our campus has become a filthy mess and does not look appealing. Everyone should do their part, clean up, and walk an extra step to the trash can. I mean, you wouldn't throw garbage in your front yard or leave stuff around your room, would you? I highly doubt it. Let's face it, we're all here for a while. Let's keep our campus clean. This has been a public service announcement from WPMD, Norwalk, California.
Did you know that every 3 seconds someone needs blood? Or that each year more than 4 million Americans need blood transfusions? Did you know that just one blood donation from you makes a difference? Just one donation from you can save up to 3 lives. Call 1-866-FROM-YOU to find out where you can donate and save lives. That's 1-866-376-6968. Just remember, 1-866-FROM-YOU. This has been a public service message from WPMD and Telemark's Campus News Hour.
For those of us who drive to Cerritos College, it's no secret that one of the biggest hassles on campus is finding parking. Here are some suggestions to help you out. If you're coming to school right before a class, plan accordingly. Try to show up at least 40 minutes to 1 hour before your class in order to assure a good parking spot. Also, if you have time to spare, try waiting in a row in order to get a good look at who's leaving. This has been a public service announcement from WPMD, Cerritos College, Norwalk, California.
La Comisión Federal del Comercio dice que la mayoría de las organizaciones de beneficencia son honestas y utilizan las donaciones recaudadas correctamente, pero algunas organizaciones que aparecen de la noche a la mañana no tienen la experiencia o los medios necesarios para brindar asistencia. Para consultar más sobre cómo hacer donaciones prudentemente, visite ftc.gov. Un mensaje del equipo contra fraudes a raíz del huracán Katrina del Departamento de Justicia. Brought to you by Telemark's Campus News Hour. Online editor Patrick Dolly takes life of a returning student to a much more personal level here on Campus News Hour. As many a returning student, campus life has its own set of dilemmas for those who are past their 20s.
Finals, finals, finals. My preparation for finals have kicked into overdrive this week. I'm really starting to feel the pinch. One thing remains on my mind as I prepare to finish out this semester. Sprint to the finish line. I keep telling myself to sprint with each assignment and each task. Through the sounds of toys, children, and Fat Albert cartoons, I try to knock out each thing that requires my attention. It's starting to feel less like life of the returning student and more like stressful life of the returning student. The last thing that I want to do is appear short with my family when they try to communicate with me. But it seems as if tasks that should take a matter of minutes take me a matter of hours and sometimes even days. I'm reminded of that bathing product commercial that says, "Calgon, take me away." Not that I feel that I'm in the least frustrated by the blessings in my life. I only wish that it were easier to balance it all. I've also been dealing with a disease called lupus. This is something that I recently learned that I have, and it makes everything all the more hard to endure. Lupus is an autoimmune deficiency disease where the lack of immune system that the body normally uses to fight against diseases and infection causes the body to, in essence, attack itself. Things like the common cold, to which the normal body may cause a few days of feeling under the weather, can lead me to being in the hospital. It's not something that I feel requires sympathy or even acknowledgement from my peers, but it is something that I have to remain mindful about, especially during finals when everything is stressful. One of the downsides of lupus is the extreme lack of energy, and given the fact that I'm a college student, Energy is one thing that I need, and I need lots of. I am sure that the majority of people that come in contact with me have no idea that I have lupus. And it's possible that even fewer know what it is. I guess that my hope is that if even one person reads this column and can relate to my trials as a returning student, as a parent, or even as a person with lupus, I may be able to do what I always hoped to do, which is to impact change. For TalentMark's Campus NewsHour, this is online editor Patrick Dolly reporting.
This is TalentMark's Campus NewsHour here at WPMD.org. We want to go ahead and give a shout out to the TalentMark crew delivering the papers out there right now. We can see you guys in Falcon Square. I hope you guys are listening to the show. Okay, there she is. She just waved at us, all right? Right on. Yay, Alicia.
Yay.
All righty. Okay, today is a very special day. We have the American Red Cross here, and they're gathering everyone's blood right now. And it's a very important issue. They've been here for the past couple of days, and I'd like to welcome Mr. Rob Torres. How you doing, sir?
Hello. Hello.
You're a veteran here at Cerritos College with the Red Cross, correct?
That's correct.
And how long have you been doing this, sir?
I've been coming to Cerritos for 19 years, organizing the blood drives here with the college.
All right. Now, have they been getting better and better?
Much better. We're one of the best schools in Southern California, best colleges.
Oh, bravo, bravo.
Real proud.
Now, people that have no clue about what's going on, and they didn't wake up thinking, I'm going to donate some blood. How can we talk them into doing it now?
Well, thank you, Tito. Well, first and foremost, blood donation is for one reason and one reason only. That's to help save lives. And what it is that we never have enough blood in our local hospitals here in our communities because we have so many people with blood transfusions, operations, need of blood, accidents. And it's very simple to donate blood. It's a little poke in the arm. The age limit is simple, 17 or older. Weigh 110 pounds or heavier, be in good health, meaning no colds, no flus, live in America 3 years or longer, and bring a photo ID. Now, some people may have a tattoo on their body, which is common in the college scene.
Right.
Tattoos have to be at least 1 year old from the last one. And if there's any piercings, as long as there's clean pierces, no infection, done professionally, we'll take you too.
See, you guys, now you just described everybody walking here on campus right now, pretty much, you know? And if we just got people that were undecided to go ahead and donate today and right now, that would make even a bigger difference, basically, right?
That would make a huge impact. And that's exactly why we appreciate being here, the students of Cerritos College and everybody around us, as you hear also the station, are very supportive in promoting this program. The need of blood is always. Every 2 seconds, we need blood. Every 2 seconds. And we just don't have enough blood to meet the need.
Oh, my God. Now, I know we've seen you here throughout the week. And you're going to be here tomorrow? Is the Red Cross going
to
be here tomorrow?
Yes, Tito. Today from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. And tomorrow, Thursday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. is our last day. So we really want everybody to come and join us.
Oh, man. See, you guys got to go ahead and sign up. Just go over there. I mean, they'll feed you sweet stuff right there.
That's right.
Right now. They got cookies for everybody, you know, so you can get your energy back. And, you know, let's just say somebody missed out on it today. Where are you guys going to be located next?
Very good. We ask everybody to go online to
AmericanRedCross.org
and basically go into the blood side of the website. And then we run blood drives every day, approximately 25 to 30 of them within the greater LA Orange County area.
Wow. Okay. Now, this is going to be kind of a tricky question, maybe. How much blood has been collected thus far in these last 3 days?
Okay, that's a good question. We actually had Monday, over 125 people came in to donate, and we collected over 90 pints.
Wow.
Okay, and yesterday we had 115 people come in, and we collected about 85 pints. So we're right there.
Now, one pint can save three lives,
right?
So we can multiply those numbers by three.
That's correct.
So if I was a mathematician, I'd be giving you an answer.
That is correct. We're in the hundreds, and by the time we end on Thursday, we hope to be in the thousands.
In the thousands. Look, you guys, and this is real. I mean, nobody plans on getting in an accident. Nobody plans on needing blood, you know, because it could be any one of us that is in this need right now. So it is, or anyone that you know and care about as well, you know. So it is up to us to make not only a difference, but to actually physically save a life by sitting down, donating blood, enduring the little, needle for a little bit, you know, and then enjoying some cookies and some juice and stuff like that. And then you're pretty much a hero for the day.
That's right. That's right.
Now, who do you have working out there with you guys? I mean, do you have a whole crew?
Well, basically, we have a whole professional crew of the American Red Cross. Our volunteers are our students here at Cerritos College. We have volunteers greeting people.
Bravo.
And basically, we take all walk-ins. As long as you have a photo ID, come on and join us.
Bravo.
Have fun.
Absolutely. And so, and it's located here on Falcon Square. You guys usually set up in the same place.
That is correct.
Right?
Yes.
Great. Is there anything that I'm missing out on that you would like to convey to the listenership right
well,
now?
Well, thank you, Tito. I just want to mention one thing. We're so proud of not just only the students at Cerritos College, but we have faculty members, staff. We have the community come in. We have people from our local area come in to donate blood because they know about our blood drive. We're so proud of that. And being that, in Southern California, which we call Ventura to San Diego, we are the second best college in blood donations in Southern California. We're
wow.
proud of that. The only people who beat us are those people, Cal Poly Pomona down the street there. But we want to beat them. It's a friendly competition.
Absolutely. You know, yes. Well, you know, this is the only place where we can compete. And, you know, the only way we win is if we lose more blood than they do. Okay, now that is a kind of a paradox there, but, you know, let's go ahead and do it, you guys. I'm seeing so many people out there in Falcon Square. Everyone's full of blood, and you guys can afford to give one pint away today, okay? Everyone can, you know? And now we did it the first couple of days for the Cesar Chavez situation.
That's correct.
Now, did you work with anybody from that organization?
Yes, we work with the CCM Club.
CCM Club.
The Chicano Creative Medicine. I'm sorry, but yeah. that we worked with them, and they were out there getting the word out.
Chicanos for Community Medicine.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
No problem. I had a hard time with that.
Okay, good,
yeah,
good. Yeah. But yes, they did a great job in recruiting. That's why we did so good the first 2 days, and now we want to end with a blast.
Okay, you guys. All right, now we had some people from Talon Marks go ahead and donate.
Yes.
And we had some really good photos with you guys,
yes.
too. You know, so, you know, you guys, it's not as painful as it seems. It's only painful if you do not donate. Okay, it's only a big, big heartache if there's no blood for someone who really needs it. And if we're just hanging out and walking and can get cookies and juice out of it, I think it's a beyond a fair deal to go ahead and donate blood today. Now, how long are you guys going to be there today?
Once again, we'll be here to 8:00 in the evening tonight. So we target all students day, afternoon, and evening, and tomorrow 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. And besides the cookies and juice, Tito, we're going to give a nice T-shirt to everybody who donates.
You guys, wow, a T-shirt. You know, that's and right. they probably even have my size there. You guys, come on.
That's right.
You know?
That's
really, you know, yeah. What does a T-shirt say? Do you know?
It's various designs on it. Very well, just another thing, Tito. We're also giving 2 free passes to our Laugh Factory,
what?
Either Long Beach or Hollywood. We're also giving a voucher for tickets to the LA Grammy Museum at LA Live on Figueroa and Olympic.
Oh, wow.
And
oh
we're
God.
Also giving tickets to the LA Galaxy Soccer, which people can get soccer tickets if they like that sport.
All right. Now, this will be available tomorrow as well, right?
Available tomorrow. And the last thing, there
yes,
is
sir.
A raffle going on
right.
for the winning person who wins. They'll be getting movie passes for the whole year.
You guys.
So
wow.
2 passes for each month for a whole year. That's
now,
pretty cool.
That's beyond cool. And then for anybody, like, you know, nonprofit organizations to go ahead and offer this stuff up shows the level of importance on how much they need you guys to come on in and to donate blood. You know, I mean, this is a matter of life and death, basically, when it comes down to it.
That's
you know,
right.
here, you know, you guys are the fighters for life here at the Red Cross, you know. And just out of curiosity, how long has the Red Cross been an entity?
Oh, we've been an entity for over 100 years. Oh. We actually started with Clara Barton back in the Civil War days.
Wow.
So, but we collected blood for about 90 years, and now it's very, very safe to donate.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, we are mandated and regulated by the FDA. That's the same people who regulate our food. They regulate our blood. So everything is super safe. Brand new and sterile needles, only used once.
All right.
And once again, all our nurses are professionally trained.
Do you ever have anyone freak out?
That's a good one. You know, people get nervous. Mm-hmm. There's a needle going into their arm.
Yeah.
But you know what? After it's all said and done and for a few minutes in their arm, the satisfaction is they know that their blood is going to save up to 3 lives. And their blood will replenish, so they're not going to lose their blood.
Right.
So we tell people, save a few lives today, get new blood tomorrow.
Now, is there any way we could find out what kind of blood we are, what type we are?
Great question. And that absolutely, yes. As part of the program, when we test your blood, and we have to do that by law, we also do ABO typing, which is your blood type. So in about 4 to 6 weeks, we'll send your official Red Cross card in the mail with your blood type, all free of charge.
That's awesome. So we could know, because I have no clue what my blood type is.
And
I could be some of the, and what's the most valuable blood that's universal?
Oh.
Oh, that's what
oh.
we need.
Oh.
If you're knowingly an O person out there, you
yes.
need to get there now.
Yes.
Because you are more valuable than you could possibly imagine.
Exactly.
You know? Not only the vampires want you, everyone wants you.
That
okay?
is correct.
Yeah, absolutely.
How many types is there?
There's 4 types. We have O, which is what we call the universal blood type. We have A, we have B, and then we have AB combined. Those are the four blood types, and you're either positive or negative. Once again, that's when you get tested. The factor comes out, and a lot of people should know their blood type. If they ever have to give Absolutely. Blood to their family, right. to their friends, to people who they don't even know, they should know what blood type, because you have to match.
Yeah, right. absolutely. I yes. think that should be something that should be put in, like, on our driver's license or
that's
something
correct.
Like that, you know, yeah. because that's on the fly importance.
Yes.
You know, that could be coming, that could come into importance, like, critically right at the moment. So, yeah, it's good for you guys. You know, once you donate, you get tickets for really fun things. You get a really cool T-shirt, and you get to know exactly more of yourself by knowing what kind of blood you have.
That's
okay.
Right.
You know, you get to know who you are. Alrighty, Mr. Torres, anything else that just want to go ahead and invite people one more time?
Yeah, just want to thank you so much. Once again, we're here today, Wednesday. That's the 25th of April. And tomorrow, Thursday, the 26th, is our final day. Please, everybody, out of the goodness of your heart, come out, give your arm up a little bit, and give a little blood and save some lives.
Absolutely, awesome. Sir. We want to thank you. We want to especially thank the Red Cross for doing their work here for all of us human beings on the planet. And, you know, we want to encourage everybody out there in Falcon Square. I know you can hear me. I could see you walking there, okay? You guys got some blood to give. Go ahead and give it up today. You guys will be a hero for the rest of the year and pretty much for the rest of whoever's lives you save.
Yes.
All righty. Thank you so much, Mr. Torres, for coming on in. This is WPMD.org. You are listening to Talon Mark's Campus News Hour. We'll be right back.
After these messages.
Bravo.
Mommy, you should take the time and do a lot just to keep me safe. Knee pads, baby gates, corner cushions, socket covers, and that fancy car seat for big girls like me. Where'd you find that thing?
The odds of a child being in a fatal car accident are 1 in 23,000. Highly unlikely, but it's still worth untangling those buckles time after time. Well, there's something out there that untangling buckles won't protect a child from, and that something is autism. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism are 1 in 166. That's right. 1 in 166 children will be diagnosed with an autism spectrum disorder. And one of those could be your child. Knowing what to look for and catching it early could make a world of difference to your child and you.
So, Mom, while you're remembering to protect me from the unthinkable, don't dismiss the possible.
To learn the signs of autism and what to do, go to autismspeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
This week's Talon Marks Campus News Hour opinion section takes a stand against equality, sort of. Staff writer Cassandra Murray levels her point of view at co-ed sports and the unfairness of its proposal with the unequal physical abilities of men and women.
Co-ed sports do not exist most of the time at schools, especially colleges, for a reason. Cerritos College does not offer co-ed sports, and in my opinion, should keep it that way. Men and women have different physical capabilities, and it is a fact that the vast majority of men are stronger than women. Due to the physical differences and strength discrepancies between men and women, sports have been separated to keep the playing field fair and safe. Imagine football being mixed with both men and women. A 250-pound linebacker charging at a 150-pound woman doesn't exactly seem like the safest scenario. By sports being separated, it gives a more equal playing field. I honestly don't see why someone would want to integrate men and women into the same teams. Men and women are completely different, and that needs to be accepted. Neither is better than the other. There are just physical differences, and the separation of sports is a healthier choice than integration. For Talon Marks Campus News Hour, I'm Assistant News Editor Cassandra Murray, reporting.
Assistant Online Editor Sarah Neiman strongly believes that community college sports athletes should also be eligible for scholarships alongside their four-year university counterparts.
Community college athletes should be able to receive scholarships. Athletes at universities are given scholarships to play for a school. There's no reason why the lower-level schools shouldn't. If a student is coming from out of state just to play a sport, they need money for a place to live, the higher tuition, and possibly to buy the equipment for that sport. Even if an athlete isn't from out of state, during the season it is extremely hard for athletes to keep a job because of the practice and game time schedules. Life isn't easy for any student, but others are allowed to get help. There are all types of scholarships for students who excel in specialized areas such as theater or in journalism. Why can't athletes get money for excelling in their sport? Just like with any scholarship, there needs to be criteria. Maybe they can't miss a certain amount of games or practices. No matter how good they are, they're still student athletes, so having to keep their grades up should be a requirement as well. These students help represent our school. We should have the best representative as possible. Being able to give out scholarships to them will help us do that. For Talon Marks Campus News Hour, I'm Assistant Online Editor Sarah Neiman reporting.
With the softball playoffs on the horizon, It's do or die for the Cerritos College softball team. Online editor Patrick Dolly speaks to our Falcons team and reveals their determination and hope for a victorious season.
In a season that has seen the Cerritos College softball team suffer only 8 losses, Falcons are poised to make a deep run in the playoffs this year, possibly ending with a state championship. Sophomore shortstop Brianna Quintana feels that a championship is something that the team is pushing toward.
I expect us to work hard and get to the very end of state.
Would you say it's championship or bust for this season?
Yes.
So if you don't win the championship, would you be disappointed?
I wouldn't say disappointed, but I know we can do it, so I just think we should win.
With a 28-8 overall record and 19-2 in South Coast Conference play, the Falcons have clinched at least a share of the conference title. Freshman catcher Julia Mendoza feels that a consistent approach to the season has assisted in its success.
We're just doing what we usually do. It's like we're continuing throughout our season, and we're just going with the flow.
How do you feel about your overall record this season?
I think we did really great in comparison to how we started the season with 13 girls to the roster, and we pushed it out.
Winning its first two games of the season, the Falcons started off strong with convincing victories against Fullerton College and Bakersfield College before suffering its first loss of the season against Saddleback College. A no-contest decision due to darkness for the game against Antelope Valley College prevented the team from finishing its game on January 28th. Following the no-contest matchup against ABC, the Falcons went on a 10-game winning streak that included a 26-2 victory against El Camino College Compton Center, as well as a 13-12 victory over ABC, making up for the previous match where the two teams failed to complete the game. Only twice so far during the season have the Falcons lost two consecutive games. Both sets of losses came in doubleheaders. The first time was during a doubleheader on February 25th when the Falcons fell to Bakersfield College and Cypress City College, both at Bakersfield College. The second time the Cerritos College suffered consecutive losses this season was during a doubleheader against College of the Canyons on March 9th. After a 15-11 loss to rival Mount Sac that ended in a walk-off Grand Slam home run for the Mounties, the Falcons strung together another winning streak, winning its next 11 consecutive games. That win streak included a 4-1 road victory against crosstown rival Long Beach City College, an impressive 5-inning home run against El Camino College, and a 9-8 home victory against rival Mount San Antonio College. The Mount Sac win avenged the earlier loss that the Falcons suffered at the hands of the Mounties that ended in a walk-off Grand Slam. The Falcons returned the favor and won with a walk-off double, scoring the winning run. Sophomore, outfielder, and pinch runner Sasheen Contreras is proud of how the team has performed.
I think we're finishing conference really strong, and I think we're just going to start up again with playoffs like it's a new season, you know, start fresh and, you know, go hard.
A loss against Cypress College on Saturday handed the Falcons its most recent loss of the season. The team now has a 1-2 record against Cypress this season. With the playoffs approaching, the Falcons are ranked number 3 in Southern California and preparing to enter postseason play, where the top 8 seeded teams will host the best of 3 game series in the first round of the playoffs on May 5th and 6th. For Talent Marks Campus News Hour, I'm online editor Patrick Dolly reporting.
The South Coast Conference Tournament was hosted by Cerritos College, yielding big wins for the Cerritos College men's tennis crew. With regional qualifications on the line, the Falcons tennis team is working hard to compete in future tournaments. Staff writer Mario Jimenez reporting.
2 singles and 3 doubles players won their matches as Cerritos College men's tennis hosted the South Coast Conference Tournament on April 19th and 20th. Journalism and history major Andrew Turner talks about being in the tournament.
Well, I mean, this is the South Coast Conference tournament, so at this point, everybody's just looking for one last chance to extend their season.
Turner said that the SEC tournament is the postseason for individuals, and everybody playing is trying to qualify for regionals. He continued,
this being my second year, I mean, I only got one more chance at this, so I'm just trying to make the most of it.
According to Turner, 2 of his teammates had lost to his opponent earlier in the year in third set tiebreakers, but admitted he didn't know what to expect. The game plan is explained by Turner.
I didn't really know what to expect because I hadn't played it myself, but just got out there. The game plan, just chase down every ball, try to make him hit one more, and just outwill him.
Undecided major Brandon Chang was another Cerritos Falcon that competed in day one of the tournament. Chang talks about how he thinks he fared.
I hit okay. Kind of nervous in the beginning, but I tried to get warm up quickly. Yeah, get in the hitting zone.
The competition Chang faced was decent on behalf of his perspective, but he also commented that he needs to work to improve his footwork. Chang spoke about his opponent and their match.
And what do you think about your opponent today?
Opponent's is pretty decent.
You won or lost?
I won.
You won? Yeah. Oh, what was the score?
6-1, 6-1.
Computer engineering major Kyle Porter also represented the Falcons during day one of the SEC tournament. When asked how he thought he and his teammates performed, he simply stated,
"Oh, my teammates won today, so I'm happy for them. And I feel like I did good out there. It's just a couple points went his way, and he got the better of me today. So I'll get him next time."
Halfway through a 10-point tiebreaker needed to decide the match, Porter said he started cramping up. He fought the pain as long as he could, but he couldn't, as he states.
About halfway through the 10-point tiebreaker, I could feel like little cramps in my legs. But then when it came to the last point before we were going to finish, it got really bad and it just got super tight and I couldn't even put pressure on it.
Porter mentioned afterward that if he could have done anything different, it would have been to hit his shots deeper. Tennis head coach Alvin Kim talked about his team's overall performance on day one.
We were upset at two positions, but came through with two girls doubles teams, all of our men's doubles teams, and one, two, three, four singles men, and a couple women's singles players.
Coach Kim also said that the Falcons were victorious in four men's singles matches, but still needed to wait for the results of day two to see if they will be qualifying for the regionals. When asked how he prepares his players for games of this magnitude, he said,
"A lot of it's about body management, because in tournaments you play back-to-back days, so we don't have rest days."
Coach Kim said that proper hydration, nutrition, and rest are all keys to winning around this time of year for his team. For Talon Marks Campus News Hour, I'm staff writer Mario Jimenez reporting.
Students in Lot C10 witnessed a barbecue on Monday at approximately 5 p.m. A non-student arrived to pick up a sibling when her white pickup truck went up in flames. A very fast-acting Talon Marks journalism crew immediately kicked into action and captured the burning truck on film. Viewable on TalonMarks.com. Staff writer Alexandra Scoville reporting.
A white truck caught fire in parking lot C10 of the Cerritos College campus on Monday afternoon. The cause of the fire is unknown. The fire was extinguished by the Los Angeles County Fire Department. The driver, who is not a Cerritos College student, was picking up her sister, who currently goes to Cerritos College. The woman noticed smoke coming from her vehicle and pulled into the parking lot. Students who were at the automotive building saw the truck smoking and ran to help the woman get out of her car. Sean Rutkowski, an automotive student, was one of the first to go help.
She was pulling up. She stopped with her flashers on, and there was just smoke coming out of the car. Smelled like burning coolant, and as soon as she parked it, you could just see the flames coming out the side. So me and Mark ran over to tell her to get out. She came running out of the car, went and got the fire extinguisher, and it just did not help at all.
Mark Gessen, another automotive student, was with Rutkowski and went with him to help the woman.
Smoking, we saw a little bit of a fire. We yelled at her to come out, and then caught more, and then we ran and got fire extinguishers.
Robert Shaka Ali was the student who ran to campus police to inform them that there was a car on fire.
Yeah, they said they already had part of it already determined. They just asked what kind of vehicle was it. I just told them it was a white little pickup truck that looked like it needed some help. They said they already had people already on it when the car was already on fire. They came in like about 2 minutes after I went in, so.
There were no injuries as a result of the fire, and the extent of damage is unknown at this time. The woman who was driving the truck declined to comment. For Talon Marks Campus News Hour, I'm staff writer Alexandra Scoville reporting.
This week's Talon Marks Campus News Hour editorial focuses on a very decisive issue, the vote of no confidence toward ASCC Director of Student Activities, Holly Bogdanovich. With an extended medical leave, a lack of transparency, walking out of meetings, and failure to guide the ASCC, Bogdanovich, as well as the administration, faces heavy scrutiny by students and Talon Marks Campus News Hour. Vic Diaz speaks for the entire Talon Marks staff.
As students of Cerritos College, we have a voice, and it needs to be heard.
Our student government has approved a vote of no confidence against Associated Students of Cerritos College Director of Student Activities, Holly Bogdanovich, due to claims of a lack of transparency and communication. Of course, the only people who know whether or not these claims are true are the ones making them. However, if this is truly the case, it is time for a change. As students, we may not always have the correct sense of direction when it comes to our decision making. This situation does not only affect the student government, but the entire student body as well. Major figures in our student government, including AACC President Jasmine Ramirez, make the claim that they were not given any transparency by the director as far as what it can or cannot do for the student body. That being the case, doesn't that mean that we aren't receiving all the support we possibly can? We're supposed to trust our student government and believe that its leaders are being taught and trained to do everything in their power to help their constituents, in this case, the students of Cerritos College. Our student leaders cannot do their job if they are not trained properly on how to do it, and that begins at the very top. However, there's no need to grab torches and pitchforks and gather outside the student activities office just yet. It is not just the director of student activities that needs to be held accountable. Our administration needs to be held just as accountable for various reasons. First, for not keeping a closer eye on what is going on within student government, and second, for not holding the director accountable for whatever it is she is being accused of doing, or in this case, not doing. Perhaps if administration had stepped in earlier, there wouldn't be such a conflict between student leaders and the director. Maybe it could have been resolved in a more professional manner, as previously suggested by student trustee Errol Hughes. Granted, Bogdanovich took a 5-month medical leave due to injury, and it is in no one's place to cast judgment on her for doing so. But if students have a claim, there needs to be some entity to listen and assist them. Without some sort of guidance, whether it be in student government or in life, we're all just a bunch of chickens running around with our heads cut off. For Talamart's Campus News Hour, I'm Editor-in-Chief Vic Diaz reporting.
This has been the 14th installment of Talamart's Campus News Hour for the spring semester of 2012 here on WPMD.org on the net. We thank you for listening and would like to remind you to pick up the latest printed edition of Talamart's and news racks located throughout the campus.
We would also like to invite you to log on to Talamart's.com for the latest in breaking news here at Cerritos College. On behalf of the Talamart's news staff, I'm Campus News Hour Director Tito Benavides.
And I'm Managing and Multimedia Editor Lucia Saravia.
Have a great day, Falcons!